by Pastor Kevin Roberts is brought to you by the Bethany EC Church in Tamaqua, Pennsylvania.
Well, over the last, I don't know, I lose track of weeks, but over the last few weeks, I've been talking with you and sharing with you a challenge for 2011. Let's see if anybody knows what the challenge is before we show it to you. Does anybody know what our challenge is? I'll start with one clue. Two. Together. Zero excuses. One. Heart. One. Purpose. Very good. Let's see it, Kyle. We told them. Because what we're basically saying is if we can get all on the get together on the map and we work together and we get rid of the things that get in the way, and we could come up with lots of excuses. And we looked at excuses last week and we said that if we had one heart and one purpose, we could make a significant impact here in our community. Statistics show that there are more than 5,000 people here in this community who have no realization of who God is, who Christ is, and moreover, what Christ has done for them. And so we looked, first of all, at what it means to be together. And we said, well, together means first that we gather together. It also means that we work together, that everybody does their part, and everybody works in such a way that individuals can carry out what needs to be done, working in harmony, working in unity. And we also said that together meant having it together in more of a contemporary definition, being aware of what's going on and taking the effort to put it all together so that the goal can be met. If everybody just does their own thing, without any focus of making an impact, it's not going to make an impact. And that's what we talked about. We also talked last week about excuses. Anybody remember some of the excuses that we talked about for not making an impact, or why we can make excuses? Fear. We said fear was an excuse. Anybody else? Somebody said something. No time, right? No time, busyness, having our time used up in other areas. And so there are things that get in the way. And we need to kind of focus and prioritize. Today, I want to move to the third part of that formula, which talks about having one heart. One heart. Now, if you went to the doctor for a checkup, one of the first things that the doctor is going to do is listen to your what? Heart. Because the heart is generally an indicator of other things that are going on in the body. The heart generally is an indicator as to what the body is doing, even in other systems of the body. And so they check the heart. A lot of times then they'll check your blood pressure and they'll listen to your lungs and that sort of thing. Maybe sometimes they even do blood tests to determine other factors. But examining the heart, because the heart is one way of understanding the overall health of the body. One of the things that we need to examine, if we are going to determine our effectiveness in making an impact, is the heart. Now, when it comes to the heart, we can't check the heart of the whole church as a whole, because the church is made up of what? Individuals. And each of us has a heart. So the first thing we need to examine is our own hearts as part of the body. And I'm going to try to show you today that we should all strive to have one particular heart, a heart that can make an effective impact in our community. According to the American Heart Association, cardiovascular disease is the number one killer among adults in the United States. It is responsible for more than 1 million deaths annually. Did you know that heart disease claims more lives than the next seven leading causes of death, including cancer, accidents, influenza, pneumonia, and diabetes? One in five individuals, according to their statistics, has some form of heart disease. Well, what would you say about churches, or churches as a whole, or maybe our church, or maybe us? Maybe, just maybe, we need to examine our hearts to see if they're as healthy as they should be. If there's anything that is hindering our effectiveness. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 86, 11, teach me, is it there, Kyle? No. Yes? No. Well, it'll be later. So, the psalmist says in Psalm 86, 11, teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. Now, when we're talking about the heart, we're not talking about this thing that's hopefully making a beating sound right now. We're talking about, in a biblical sense, of what the heart is. Now, the scriptures talk about the heart, and you're going to see lots of scriptures today that I'm going to show you. But when the Bible talks about the heart, it is talking about the seat of our intellect as well as the seat of our emotions. It is our will. It is our intentions. It is our thoughts, our words, our actions. And all of these things the Bible teaches us originate right here. In our heart, in our being, our thoughts, our actions, the choices that we make. Having said that, let me ask you a question. Please tell me the question is there. What kind of heart do you think it takes to make an impact? A loving heart? Louder? A giving heart? Caring? Somebody else? Open, transformed, good word. Ryan? Trusting heart, okay. Very good. Go ahead. A seeking heart, very good. All right. You have all the right answers. I'll get out my stethoscope and hold it up, and you have all of the right answers. What do you think it means, next question? What do you think it means to have an undivided heart? Go ahead. Holy. Louder. Okay, I still didn't catch it, I'm sorry. Devoted to God, thank you. Somebody else, anybody else? Ryan? Devoted to Jesus, okay. Anybody else? An undivided heart means what? No divisions. Completely focused. Completely directed by God. On God. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart. A heart that walks in the truth of God. An undivided heart loves God. A person who has an undivided heart loves God with all of their heart. We opened the service today by singing, "Love the Lord with all your heart." If we want to have an undivided heart, we must love God with our total being. Imagine, I want you to just think about that for a second. we would love God with our total being. What do you think that would do to our lives? If we love God with our total being, what would that do? Probably affect everything we do, wouldn't it? Everything that we do would be led of God. We would choose to make decisions in accordance with God's desire for us. We would be so attuned with God that we would reflect His love in all that we do. Talked about caring, sharing, kindness, giving. Now, when we put all that into the idea of impact, imagine what it would be like if we as individuals and then collectively as a body had one heart that showed love like Jesus, compassion like Jesus, caring like Jesus. What do you think that would do? I think that would have like a tremendous impact on people. You think people out there aren't looking to be loved? Think people out there aren't just looking to be accepted, be understood? They most certainly are. People are going to great lengths, including destructive length in their lives, for acceptance. If God's people had a heart that reflected Jesus, imagine what would happen. So understand that loving the Lord with all of our heart. Do you know that part of the EC doctrine is and says that if we would love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we would never choose to sin. We would always choose to do and act and behave as Jesus does, acts, and behaves. That's what the Bible says. And Jesus placed a very important part of our lives on that. I want you to turn to Matthew 22. Matthew 22, we're going to, I forgot that. Skip that slide, Kyle. Take that away. That's bad, bad. You'll have to find it on your own. How's that sound? Maybe I'm too good in giving too much help. Matthew 22, 34 to 40. I'll give you a hint. If you have a brown Bible in your hand, it's on page 1034. And if you have a black Bible in your hand, it's on page 1535. How does that sound? I'll give you a little help. Jesus is talking to his disciples. And it says, starting with verse 34, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together, and one of them, an expert of the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Everything hinges on our degree of love for God and love for one another. It really does. It all hinges there. And so I want to begin, as we're focusing today on the heart, I want to talk a little bit about what it means to love the Lord with all of our heart and to examine our hearts. In Proverbs 23:26, it says, "My son, give me your heart and let your eyes keep my ways." In Proverbs 27:19, it says, "As the water reflects a face, so a man's heart reflects a man." So that our heart, that seat of our emotions and our intellect and our will, reflects who we are. Most of our problems stem from the heart. I do, as most of you know, I do a grief share ministry. And the other evening, in fact, Counselor Ted Tripp was sharing in the DVD teaching. And he was talking about his own heart. And he shared how after years of being a Christian, being a counselor, being a person who was serving God, when his own father passed away from the fifth floor to the first floor in that hospital, he found things coming out of his mouth, thoughts in his head, and verbalizing things that he had not spoken in years. And he said, those words, all of that anger, all of that frustration was in there. It was in his heart, because out of the heart we speak. Out of the heart, Matthew 12:34 says, it is out of the overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks. So, you know, sometimes when you catch yourself and you're saying something that you really didn't want to say or you really shouldn't have said, where did it originate from? The heart. It originated from the heart. And so we need to focus on our hearts this morning. And I'm going to present to you that there, I believe, are three possible kinds of hearts that people can have. So we can test our own hearts, and then we're going to look and see what heart we should all endeavor to have. The first heart on your outline is a depraved heart has no commitment to God. A depraved heart has no commitment to God. Jeremiah 17:9 says that the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Jesus, in Mark's gospel, recognizing that the heart was depraved, he said this in Mark 7, 20-21, what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. In other words, it is from out of the heart, out of that inner part of our being, comes all kinds of sin. The EC Discipline has an article of faith. If you became a member of this church, somewhere I read this to you. In Article 105, it says, of human depravity, all men have sinned, and they inherit a depravity of nature that is continually propagated in the entire race of Adam. This corruption of nature so far removes them from the original righteousness of man that of themselves they have no ability to recover from their fallen condition and are continually inclined to do that which is evil. That's who we are. That's who the unsaved person is, without any ability to help themselves. That's why we teach Christ who transforms lives. That's why we teach Christ who makes a difference in the heart. When we receive Jesus as our Savior, He turns that depraved heart into a new heart. He transforms us. Yet any part of our lives, any place where we are not loving Him with all and all of our heart, totally, there is that depraved part of us. We call it a sin nature. We call it an old nature. But there is that part of us within us. And so we need to be controlled by God's Spirit. We need to be transformed by the work of God in our inner being. So one kind of heart is a depraved heart, which has no commitment to God. I could probably go on with no recognition of God and all those kinds of things. And that's not the heart we want to have. Heart number two is a divided heart, is a heart that is wavering. A heart that is wavering in commitment to God. Now, we know people like that. Of course, it's none of us. You know, where, oh man, I'm going to live so much for God. I'm going to do everything God wants me to do. I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to pray 10 hours every day. I'm going to give like 50% of my money to God every week. Oh, wait a minute. I have something else I want to do. Forget that. I was going to do that. I have something else. Isn't that what we do? That's kind of what we do. That's a wavering heart, kind of just one minute we're on fire and the next minute we go up in smoke, right? That's not any of us, but people we know. You see, there are struggles. Throughout our Christian walk, there are struggles. And we have to make choices. If we're loving God with all of our heart, our choice will be to obey Him. Our choice will be to do what He wants us to do and not what we desire to do sometimes. Sin is tempting. Sometimes sin is even enjoyable, but it is only enjoyable for a season. There's always consequences. And so we do find an attraction, and yet if we are loving Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we can turn and resist that temptation. We may struggle in habits, we might struggle in temperament, we might struggle in situations, we might struggle with certain besetting sins, but we don't have to be stuck there. But there is a heart that wavers between commitment and non-commitment. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, "A man cannot serve two masters. For he will either hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other." A heart that is undivided is devoted to loving God and despises sin. Looks at sin in the same way that God looks at it. God detests sin. But a divided heart wavers between the two, between the ways of God and the ways of the world. It's important to realize that there is a struggle in that phase. God wants us to overcome that. And now I'm going to show you that verse, and boy, it better be here this time. Psalm 86:11. I've already said it twice. But it says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I might fear your name." If you were to look at that verse, what is the key to having an undivided heart? Go ahead. Truth. Walking in truth. What else? Fear. Fear. Revering God's name. Right? What else? An undivided heart. Teach. Right? So, teach me your way. How do I find out God's way? In the Word, in prayer. And so, gaining an understanding of God so that we can walk in the truth of what His Word says and loving Him with all of our own heart gives us a heart that is undivided, a heart that loves Him with our total being. And God wants us to know Him. He wants us to know His Word. He wants us to teach His truth through His Spirit, apply it to our hearts that they might be transformed. Ezekiel 11:19 says, "I will give them an undivided heart, and I will put a new spirit in them, and I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh." God wants to transform that rocky heart of sin. He wants to transform our heart to be the heart that is undivided. And He does that through the power of His Holy Spirit. He does that as His Word is applied to our lives. God wants us to give up that struggle. God wants us to stop wavering between the two. He wants us to stop pretending that we're totally committed to God in one setting and then live for the world in another. Make a decision, he is telling us. Give up the wavering between the two. Totally surrender to him. Totally commit. And that brings us to the third kind of heart that we can have. A dedicated heart is a heart that has a total commitment to God. Totally committed to God. Loving him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Wanting to do his will in every situation. Allowing his spirit to lead our lives. Allowing his spirit to transform the junk out of our lives. Being totally committed to him. Now, some of you might think, well, wait a minute here. Total commitment? Why should I have total commitment? Isn't a gift of forgiveness free? Isn't a gift of eternal life free? Isn't it a free gift? It is for you. It wasn't for Jesus. It cost him his life. It cost him his place with his Father in heaven. It caused him intense pain and intense suffering. It caused him his very life. Doesn't seem so free when you think what he had to do to pay for it. We need to have one heart, and that one heart needs to be total commitment. Jesus calls us to surrender ourselves totally to him. In Luke 14, it says, great crowds were following Jesus. He turned around and said to them, if you want to be my follower, you must love me more than your own father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters. Yes, you must love me more than your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. And you cannot be my disciple if you do not carry your own cross and follow me. I'm not going to take a lot of time and talk about what that verse means. But I'll sum it up by saying Jesus expects a true follower or a true disciple to totally commit to following him by loving him more than anyone else and loving him more than anything else. That's what he wants. In Matthew 16, it says, Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must put aside your selfish ambition, shoulder your cross, and follow me. If you try to keep your life for yourself, you will lose it. If you give up your life for me, you will find true life. I hear people talk about the difficulties and the trials and the problems that they have in life, and they'll say, well, we all have a cross to bear. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus is saying, you see me putting that cross on my back? And going to a place where I die, put the cross on your back. Follow me and die to yourself and live 100% totally committed for him. That's what he's saying. Take up your cross and get rid of that selfish part of yourself and surrender completely to him. And then he says, in that you will find true life. And many of you could testify, I'm sure, and you would say that you thought you were living until you came to know Jesus. And he made such a difference in your life, a life that is more abundant than you could have ever imagined, a life that supersedes anything you could have put together for yourself. Because that's exactly what he does. If we give up our life for him, we find it. If we hold on to our selfish life for ourselves, we lose. Very simple. Loving God with all of our heart requires that degree of commitment. And so when we try to put this all underneath the formula for impact, and we say that we need to have one heart, when it comes to the church, our heart, your heart, your heart, your heart, my heart, determines the effectiveness of our impact. It really does. If our hearts are not functioning correctly, the whole body is affected. I gave you four questions today. The first one should be pretty simple. Which of the three hearts is needed to make an impact? Heart number three, right? The one that is totally committed to God. That was the easy one. Question number two. Which heart best describes your own heart? Don't tell me. Which heart best describes your own heart? A heart of no commitment? A heart of wavering commitment? Or a heart of total commitment? Having one heart comes to each one of us examining ourselves and then collectively, together, fulfilling God's purpose. But every one of us needs to have a heart that is totally committed to God. Question three. What has to happen in your heart for an impact to occur? What has to happen? We've looked at three kinds of hearts. What has to happen? For some, it's a choice. For some, it's saying, okay, I'm tired of the wavering. I'm tired of being split in two ways. I'm tired of being on the fence. I'm going to make a decision to walk in God's truth. I am going to make a decision that I'm going to love Him more than anyone or anything in this world. That decision might be necessary. For some of you, it might be, I need to know you more. Teach me your word that I might know more. For some of you, it may be that you know everything about your life, right and wrong, and you just simply need to make a choice to repent and turn away from whatever it is that is keeping you wavering back and forth in commitment. And the final question, are you willing to allow God to transform your heart? Are you willing? And that's what He takes. He will take a willing spirit. Someone who is willing to come to Him and say, Father, I will just all out surrender. I want to give everything to You. I don't want to be wavering. I don't want to be flipping back and forth in my commitment. I want to be totally committed to You. Take Your Holy Spirit, Father, and transform those areas of my life that need to be made more conformed to the image of Jesus. Because I love Him with all of my heart, I want that love to be seen in my family. I want that love to be seen where I work. I want that love to be seen by my neighbors. I want that love to be seen in my community. I want that love to be seen everywhere where my life touches. That, my friends, is the heart that will make a commitment, and that heart will be a heart that impacts our world. I want to just ask you to take a moment, and I want you to just quietly talk to God. We can tell each other who we are. We can put on faces and pretend who we are. We can even try to pretend to God who we are. But God sees inside of our hearts, and He knows everything about us. Maybe it's time for you to allow God to have His way in your life, for you to renew your commitment to following Him, for you to place Him in the right place first in your life. I want you to just quietly talk to Him now. We sang a song earlier that says, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Can you say that to God? Father, only your Spirit can know what you're doing right now in our hearts. But Lord, confirm one thing to each one of us, and that is, if we want to make an impact, we must have a heart that is right with you, a heart that is dedicated, a heart that is committed, a heart that is undivided. Lord, we want to make an impact. We want to be like the early church who turned a world upside down. But it begins with us. Lord, together we would say, we give you our heart. We give you our soul. We live for you alone. May every breath that we take, every moment, Lord, would you have your way in our lives. Father, thank you for what you have taught us. By your Spirit, continue to work. In Jesus' name, amen.
The staff and members of Bethany EC Church would like to thank you for downloading one of our online sermons. We hope that this sermon was a blessing to you. We want to encourage you to visit our church's website at www.bethanyec.org to learn more about our church and our involvement in making Christ known. These downloadable sermons are part of our continuing online ministries. If you feel moved to contribute to our online ministries, please visit our website at bethanyec.org, where you will find a donate button. Support of any amount will help to ensure future free online sermons from Bethany EC Church. We hope you will join us again next week, and until then, may God bless you.